Father, your word is light. It's magnificent light. Like light that fell from the sky when you were baptized, and the voice that came down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Like light that shined on the mountain, and you said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now, would you shine that light upon us? For your servants love light more than darkness. God, the darkness is temptations, but we love light. Place that light in us, for your word declares that when our eye is full of light, how great is that light? Then the whole body will be filled with light. Fill us with light. The power of your word. In Christ's name, amen. I want to tell you a parable. It's not in the Bible. There is a great and mighty river, and it flowed through an area. And some, they stood on the banks looking in the river that was going by, looking, and every once in a while they'd see a fish. And they'd say, "Oh, it's a fish." They'd go home and they'd tell their friends, "Oh, I was looking at the river and I saw a cool fish." But some, they went out and did a little bit of work and they got a fishing pole and some bait, maybe a lure, and they went fishing. And a couple of them caught fish and they brought it home and they fed their family with it. They ate it themselves. Some, they were like bears, man. They dove in, and as the fish went by, tore it up right then and there. Ate the guts right out of that fish. Did you ever watch bear movies? Today's word, we're going to see a picture of these things that are going by. And you have the choice, the opportunity to decide, just like the parable of the sower, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and go home and tell somebody about the fish you saw? Are you going to try and catch it yourself? Maybe even share it later? Or are you going to jump in, two hands, 2 feet, and you're going to eat it up right now? You're going to let it become a part of you, nourish you, strengthen you. And you know what? Who cares if it's a little messy? Who cares? I was considering a verse this morning. It said that God wants us to know what is that acceptable, what is that good, and what is that perfect will. And I got to thinking and I said, you know, this is an interesting thing here. It's like almost like a plan A, B, C, D type of thing. God will be with us if we do what is acceptable. You could do what is acceptable. And God's like, you know what? I got acceptable. To some people, acceptable is acceptable. You could watch that fish. Man, I saw the coolest. Man, I saw. I was at the Boca Inlet, and I saw one of these manatees swim by. I think it was a manatee. It was going fast. Or you can find out what is that good will. Good. Some people like to do good. You can do good. So you can do what's acceptable and God will be with you. You can do good and God can be with you. Or you can do that perfect will. You can do exactly what you've been called to do. You can utilize the gifts that are within you. You won't care about the shame that people pour upon you. You won't care that you're outcast in your family. You're going to do that perfect will. You're going to be a bear for Christ. Just thought I was thinking. Verse 1, chapter 10, book of Revelation. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Please give me your attention. Some speculate, I've read a bunch, because I had to know, especially with the book of Revelation, I believe this angel is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The word for angel there does not mean, as some description, as some other places, an angelic being like a cherub or something like that. It means messenger. He was the messenger of God. He came down from heaven. He was clothed with a cloud. Do you remember in the book of Acts? That same way he went up with the cloud. And then you will be caught up in the New Testament to meet him with the Lord in the air with a cloud. Makes you go, okay. Okay, cloud. With a rainbow on his head. The rainbow. That word for rainbow doesn't technically mean the rainbow. It means bow, which is also interpreted archer's bow in some places. So he came down, not only the rainbow, which depicted grace. If you guys don't know, maybe you're new to scripture, new to church. In the book of Genesis, there is a flood where God flooded the entire earth because the hearts of the people were wicked continually. And every thought that they had was evil always. And God, it said, it grieves me to make man. So he flooded the earth and saved 8 people, the entire earth. And after that was done, a rainbow appeared, and he said, I want you to see that rainbow and know that I will never again flood the earth. That will be your grace bow, your rainbow. That when you see that, you know, I'm not going to hold your sins against you forever. It's an amazing thing. But also that bow could mean, because that grace does have a time that it ends, and he will subdue the nations. He will put his enemies under his feet. Those knees will bow and those tongues will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father, whether they like it or not. And as we read last week, they will gnash their teeth at him. They still will not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their thefts or their sexual immorality. No matter what happens, I want you to know that chronologically speaking, we are halfway through the Great Tribulation. Halfway. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, you've been like, oh my goodness, it's only half over. We've seen demon beasts come out of the center of the earth and destroy 1/3 of man. Wow. The Lord Jesus comes down, I believe. Look what he says. A rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun. You guys remember the Mount of Transfiguration? His face shone like the sun. Even Moses had to wear a veil. That's why one of the things. His feet were like pillars of fire. Later in book of first chapter, I think it was Revelation, it says that his feet were like burnished brass, like brass that just came out of a furnace. So that's why I believe this is the Lord. Verse 2, he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. Please give me your attention before we finish verse 2. He had a book in his hand. I don't know what book it is he has in his hand. I think it's his word. I've read a lot of speculation, none of which I can personally back up with any veracity. So let's just say I don't know what book he has in his hand, but I know what he does with the book. You'll see a little later. He set his right foot on the land, his right foot on the sea. He's the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in it. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. One of my wife's favorite verses, Psalm 69, talks about the voice of the Lord, the magnitude of the voice of the Lord, causes the trees to strip bare, make the young calf give birth, make the lion skip. What ails you, O mountain, that you fled? The psalm writer writes. What happened? What did you hear? The voice is the roaring lion. When he cried out, the 7 thunders uttered their voices. No clue what the 7 thunders are. Some think they're the 7 angels. Some think whatever they want. No idea what 7 thunders are or what they would say. However, John had this inkling in verse 4. He said, now when the 7 thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. He said, man, that's good stuff. 7 thunders, man. I never heard 7 thunders speak before. Hold on a second. I'm about to write that down. However, when he did, latter part of verse 4. I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. So he hears and he goes, that's good stuff. And right away he says, no, I don't want you to write that down. But that was good. So one of the questions that we have for God when we get to heaven is, what did the seven thunders say? And why? I mean, isn't that just like a father? Wait till you see what I got you for your birthday. What'd you get? Not telling. Then why did you tell me anything at all? I mean, this is like teasing. The seven thunders uttered their voices. I was about to write it down, but God said not to. So sorry, you're out of luck. That's just not fair, God. Verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Please. Verse in chapter 17 of the book of John, the Lord Jesus lifts his hand up and he prays to God the Father. All through Scripture, hands are raised. He lifts his hands and he swears, no longer will there be a delay. It's going down now. The seventh and final trumpet is about to sound. The last 3 years of the great tribulation before the Lord Jesus pronounces his final judgment, when the time of grace is over and judgment has begun. This is where we're at. Verse 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Please give me your attention. This is one of the most glorious things. Deuteronomy, I think it is Deuteronomy 28:28, says that the secret things belong to God and to his people. Over and over again, we hear about the great mystery. I tell you a mystery. We shall all be changed. I tell you a mystery, 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 mystery. What is the mystery of God? Let me tell you what the mystery of God is. And I say this confidently. All the things that we don't know. The big word, why. Why do bad things happen to good people? God, I don't understand. Why do we, if death is so nothing, then why do we worry so much about it? God, why did you take my son? God, why did that happen to my daughter? Why is my mother? Why? Every single mystery. God, I don't understand the Trinity. Why? Mysteries, mysteries. This faith thing is full of mysteries. And our Lord Jesus, who is the great intercessor for us all, raises his hand toward his Father, and he says, I shall delay no longer, for all the mysteries are about to be answered. Every promise is about to be fulfilled. No longer will my people have to have faith, but they will have victory, and they will see me face to face. Amen. It's a day in the future, not too far. These are the things going on in the heavenlies. And it does my heart good to know that the questions I have, they hurt the heart of God too. And he longs to reveal. Ladies, if you've ever cried in the night, if you've ever wept in your bed and wondered why this happened, or wonder why that happened, or wonder why your husband did this, your heavenly Father so longed to send his son to whisper the truth in your ear. He so longed. But the Father said, not yet. And the Son obeyed. Just like when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Son said, God, I'm paraphrasing, but this is exactly what he meant. He said, God, if I stay here, Father, there's so much I can do. If I don't go to the cross and I live, I can walk among these people. I mean, look what I did in 3 years with a dozen men. Could you imagine, Father, if you let me stay here and continue the work? Paul even said the same thing to God himself. He said, I desire to be here and to be with you, speaking about the church, but far better is to be with God in heaven. And the voice of God came back to his son and said, there's no other way. There's no other way. And our Lord Jesus spoke and said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Right? And so too, when his, if you've never had to spank a child, it's the worst thing in the world. The kid turns, you know, 2, 3 years old, and all of a sudden, they start doing stuff. You know, if you don't give them a whop on their hiney, they're going to hurt themselves. Like, you've heard the story. My son, he had this thing with electrical stuff, and he had to take every phone and throw it in the toilet or the tub. That's just what he did. And he would take knives, and he'd pull the caps off of the... If I didn't start smacking his hand, he'd have fried himself. You understand that? And his tears and his cry, I don't want to, oh my goodness. When he wept, he wept. But I know that, ladies, that's what God, the Father, says, I weep for my creation, my daughters. You know, he wrestles with his boys. He smacks us around. He kicks us every once in a while. He picks us up. He cleans us. Get back at it. But his daughters, he's so gentle with. And when somebody's not gentle with you, it's my daughter you're messing with, boy. It's a daughter of the king. That is a princess. Don't mess with my daughter. And you cry in the night, and he hears your tears. Everyone that falls to the pillow. So longing is the Lord to whisper the mystery in your ear. So longing is he to answer every prayer, but not yet. Not yet. It's like that movie Gladiator. At the end, he looks up to heaven and he goes, I will see you again, but not yet. I love that line. It so moves me. Not yet. Got life to live yet. There's things to know. There's more mysteries. There's more questions. And I stand on this promise again. Verse 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Verse 8, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. A voice from heaven, God the Father, says, I want you to go to the angel who is God the Son. I want you to go and I want you to take the words that are in his hand. Now the picture's getting a little clearer. He wants John, who is a type of us, a saint, I want you to go to the Lord Jesus. Take the book that's in his hand. Okay, I got that. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it'll make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Now, if you are a Bible geek, the correlation between the book of Daniel and between the book of Ezekiel is absolutely astounding. It's the second chapter of the book of Ezekiel where Ezekiel had the exact same thing happen. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but if you're fast on the draw, you can turn there with me. The book of Ezekiel in the second chapter. And And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me, and when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled this very day. Their fathers have transgressed against me, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you and dwell among the scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. They are a rebellious house. You shall speak to them my words, whether they hear you or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it out before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it with a lamentation and woes. Again, chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and in my mouth it was like honey in sweetness. And he goes on to talk about how it turns bitter in his stomach. I don't want to read 3 chapters to you, but you are given the Word of God. You are to go to the Lord Jesus. You are to take the Word of God. These are the last days. More so to the saints that were in those days, but even still to us, you go to God, you receive His Word, and when you read it, you'll have the sweetest taste in your mouth. For something about the Word of God is so sweet to your soul, but yet when you share it with the world, it will become bitter. Don't you want to go to heaven? You'd say to people, well, that's what you say. The sickest place that you will ever find is the World Wide Web. You have never seen the spirit of men in such an ill state, an ill shape. If you've been on YouTube, if you've been on Facebook, if you've been on any place that is faceless, where responsibility is nil, all you have to do is say one pro-God thing. The hate and the rhetoric and the vile, you would not believe. Bitter. It becomes bitter. What happened? I want to read to you chapter 7 of the book of Ezekiel. It was my morning devotion. I was reading it and I thought, this is so correlating to where we are at in Scripture. What's going on in heaven is what we see. Halfway through the Great Tribulation, these things are happening. I told you guys, the river is going through you now. It's going by. Now you can sit and look. Man, I saw some cool stuff. You can go fishing, or you could jump in. But listen, the things that I'm reading to you are going down. They're going to happen, whether you believe it or not. The world is not getting better. Things are not. Does anybody know what quantum physics are? The third law of quantum physics is the law of entropy. The law of entropy states that nothing gets better on its own. It gets worse. Things are declining. They are dying. Everything is dying. By their own scientific admission, the world and its intelligentsia declare again the law of entropy. Things are getting slower, weaker, and worse. Do you understand that? It's the law of quantum physics. But yet those same scientists, not all of them, but the vast majority of them, that are in our universities teaching our children today, are declaring to you evolution is real. That things are getting better. Things are going, pulling to, it doesn't work. The world is falling apart at the seams. And I say, you could decide for yourself what you think is going to happen, or you can hook up, jump in the water with me, and believe that what we're reading is going to happen. And you can get instruction on what to do about it. Let me read to you what it's going to be like. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land." You guys remember last week? The corners of the world, we talked about them. "Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Now, please give me your attention. If I read this with some indignation, if I read this with some anger and venom, know this. This ain't for you. I'm reading to you what's going to go down to the world. The world that refused to know the Lord. The world that your friends and family. I'm showing you what's going to go. I'm telling you, jump in the water now. Get serious about your relationship with the Lord. Because when this stuff goes down, you're going to have a bird's eye view. And you don't want to see your friends and family go this way. Do you understand that? Now, perhaps there's one person here, and even in your heart right now, you're denying the Lord Jesus. Here's your end. "Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near. Not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations." Again, if he created the heavens and the earth, if with the sound of his voice he said, "Be," and it existed, if with this great power he poured out his love upon us and let grace submerge us in a way that he wiped every tear from every single eye that ever cried, imagine the power that he has when he gets mad, when he's had enough. This is some scary stuff. "My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes." Did anybody ever hear, wait, "I'm the Lord who strikes"? No, I'm the Lord who loves. I'm the Lord who gives mercy. I'm the Lord who gives tenderness. I'm the Lord who gives grace. Oh, you must not have read Ezekiel. Sorry. "Behold the day. Behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain. None of their multitude, none of them, nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come, the day draws near." I love that. Their pride has budded, their violence has raised up into a rod of wickedness, but you know what? Not one of them remains. He speaks, it's like almost like Ezekiel's kind of like me, you know, he repeats himself. "None of them shall remain, none of their multitude." None of them. None. "Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though it may be alive, for the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity." Listen, a friend of mine used to be in the Marine Corps. He was He was over there when the first team went to Iraq, and he sent me an email. It was great. He said, "Ryan, don't buy any green bananas. You might not have time to see them ripen." I understood that's what he meant. But that's what he wrote to me, "Don't buy any green bananas." And I was like, "Dog, it must be going down over there." They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. My wrath is on their multitude. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and the famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on their face, baldness on their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. You can't buy your way out of this one. I don't care how much money you donate to the Clinton Foundation. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls nor fill their stomachs because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. Let me reiterate that. Their silver and gold will not be able to deliver them. In the day of the wrath of the Lord, they will not satisfy their souls nor fill their stomachs because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. The Lord says that the ransom of a man's life is his riches. What will it take to get a man saved? You'll have to take all his money because he builds himself high walls before him and God with his money. He finds himself strong in the power of his might because money has insulated him. He could buy off politicians and he could buy off his health. He could pay for everything, but you can't buy off the wrath of the Lord. Let the rich say, "I am poor." Let the poor say, "I am found." As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty. But they made it from the image of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore I have made it like refuse to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place, for robbers shall enter and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood. And the city is full of violence. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace. There shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. And they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and the council from the elders. The king will mourn. The prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Man, see? You have a picture of what's going on in heaven. 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea. He has a book open, and he says, "Come, take, eat. It'll be sweet in your mouth, but sour in your stomach." But what's going on earth is right there. And it's our job not to worry about the sourness of our stomach. It's our job with the sweetness of our mouth to give out the word of God. And when it turns sour in your stomach, you know what you do? You go back tomorrow and you get some more sweetness in your mouth. For not a day shall go by that I shall not retire and awake to the word of God. It is all I have in these last days. It is the only thing that holds me together. It is the only thing that keeps me from sin. It is the only thing that keeps me married. It's the only thing that teaches me about life and children and jobs. That's it. I have nothing else. I am in the water, full of the guts of a salmon all over me. It's nasty business. It's getting worse. Look, if you are here, and maybe it's your first time in this church, and man, I didn't know this was one of them churches. You guys speaking some fire and brimstone at me now. I don't apologize for the word of God, but I do apologize that that your first view has got to be so judgmental. But this is what we do at Calvary Chapel. We go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But think about it like this. Just maybe God knew what you needed. And you needed to get the hell scared out of you. Just maybe. Don't wait. I heard a guy one time say that God speaks to us in his word. He shouts at us in our poverty. And he screams at us in our infirmity. You got the word of God. Here it is. Don't wait till your gold is worth nothing. Don't wait till your health is failing. Just jump in, man. Look for a fish. All right, I'm done. Are we doing communion? Oh, man, a perfect communion day. Sit down, sit down,
sit down, sit down, woman.
I'm just kidding. Do what you think. I was feeling like Ken Graves for a second. You guys hand out the communion elements. It'll be another 5 minutes, I promise. Gentlemen. Yeah, come on up, Leah. Let's have a song of... Listen, again, let me reiterate this, okay? Breathe now because I brought the heaviness, but now, listen, you're not going to be there. You who know the Lord are not going to be there. You will be raptured. Before this happens, before the second coming... Now, catch on now, you Bible geeks, again... Before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church will happen. Those that have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, those that have believed in their heart that God had raised him from the dead, thank you, brother, you will be raptured. Here's what the Bible says. Ready? I tell you a mystery. There's the mystery again. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. At the sound of the, what are we studying? The trumpets. You see how this all connects? Yet two completely different men who wrote completely different, yet this integrated message system is giving us the fuel and the fire all at the same time. You will not be here, saint. Now, again, if there's anybody here that doesn't buy what I'm saying, you might be here. And I'm here with fish all over my face to tell you, please trust in God now. Bye, Felicia. You hear me? And now you who do believe, take this thing, man, and bring it home. Bring it home. Because right now, what's going on in America with Christianity, it's patty cake. What's going on right now in the Middle East with Christianity, crucifixions, burnings, beheadings. And although our wonderful government now can ignore it because it's only dumb old Christians, it's coming to a neighborhood near you. Don't think that I'm not talking to you about gold and silver. Don't think that Ezekiel wasn't preaching that word to us. Because if you're American, if you're homeless and you're American, you're rich as compared to the rest of the world. Was in Brazil a couple weeks ago. Went to the favela. There was a good boxing gym in the favela right outside of Rio. And I was glad I was with a couple other Brazilians. Because if you think you know what poor is, because somebody's got some tore up clothes and a cart full of food or full of stuff and walking down the streets and sleeping on a beach, no, that ain't poor. No. I seen some poor. Tin shacks. Wire going from house to house. That's their electricity. And they tap into it and maybe they got their electricity there, a little light on top. It's okay, though. The government takes care of them. When I was there, they were picking up the garbage. It's only stacked about 12 foot high. It's stacked in the street. They all throw their garbage right in the street. And they're doing renovations now. They just push the garbage into the river, into the water.
This is real.
That's real.
That's real. It's the best city in the country.
That's Rio, the best city in the country. But it's great, because here's what happened. I went to this boxing gym, right? And I went into this building. We went through the favela. We went into this building. And then coming out of the building, there's a couple of armed guards, because exactly on the other side, it's one of the most wealthy neighborhoods in the entire world. But don't worry. They make sure the people in the favela stay out of there. Hey, we got a bunch of people from Brazil here, and they'll tell you, I ain't joking. You're American, you're rich. Be careful. Be careful that gold don't take you down. You guys got a song? So here's what we do. I want you to think. Here's what I want you to do. I got it better. I want you to visualize the angel of the Lord with a foot on the land and a foot on the sea, with a book in his hand. I want you to have this vision while the song is playing. I don't want you to sing the song. I just want you to visualize it. And I want you to visualize yourself as we're taking communion, going up and taking that book and chewing it up in your mouth, that it's sweet, like honey. And don't worry that it's going to be bitter later on. Don't worry about that. So I just want you to visualize that. And then I'll come back and we'll take together. I'll take it with you.
I've heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with the one he loved. How many times has he broken that promise? It has never been done. He never climbed the highest mountain, but he walked the hill of Calvary just to be with you. He would do anything. There's no price he would not pay. Oh, just to be with you, he would give everything. He would give his life away. Yeah. I've heard it said that a man would swim the ocean just to be with the one he loved. With all those dreams on empty emotion, it can never be done. He never swam the deepest ocean, but he walked upon the raging sea. Just to be with you, he did everything. There's no price he did not pay. Oh, just to be with you, he gave everything. Yes, he gave his life away. Yeah. his life away just to be with you. Oh, just to be with you. Oh, just to be with you.
The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Lord, speaking to his people, said to them, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink." And they said, "You're disgusting." And they left. And he said, "Does this offend you? The things that I speak to you, they're spirit." He said to the woman by the well, "They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." What we're doing here is symbolism. We're taking the Word of God, the body, the representation of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be honey in your mouth. Pledge it. Go ahead. Now, if you take that Word of God in your mouth and you let it become a part of you and you start giving it out, it will be blood. But the same blood that you shed, he shed for your healing. So don't be afraid of shedding a little blood. The Bible says that you have not resisted temptation. You have not resisted sin to bloodshed, adding as he did. So, if his blood is going to cover me and his blood's going to heal me, and I don't mind shedding a little blood for him. If I don't get a job that I need to get, if somebody doesn't want to be my friend, if somebody on the internet says something mean to me, you know what? It's one less Christmas card. I'm okay with that. If he was okay with that, I'm okay too. You too? Go ahead. Chapter 11 next week, guys. God bless you. Have a blessed week. I love you. Don't forget your letters to Victor, please.